taken as my text these very familiar words that were written on the wall of that banquet that night in Babylon. And Belshazzar saw them. And the words have been very famous. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, verse 25. I've enjoyed preparing these messages and look forward to the blessings that we could receive because of the testimony of Daniel. This whole book is a record of how the Lord used him, how he stood for the Lord, and how the Lord took care of him. And Daniel has been alive in the hearts of the Lord's people all these centuries. I told you that, I think I did when I started, that this was my mother's favorite book in the Bible. And she loved the story of how the lions got lockjaw, couldn't eat Daniel. And I'll be preaching on that tonight. But here is one man whom God used, and he used him mightily. And he was able, because of his faithfulness to God, his life was clean, wouldn't eat the king's meat. His prayer life was consistent. Every day he prayed with an open window toward Jerusalem. And everybody knew that he had the power to interpret dreams. Now, revelation by dreams was quite common in the Old Testament with the Old Testament prophets. As I pointed out to you, it's not common today. In fact, we don't expect any dreams to tell us anything but some bad things once in a while. And they're no good. We go by the written word, which is completed and sealed, and nothing is to be added to it. We have nothing to do with these people who have their visions and have their dreams and then go out and do things in keeping with them and they get into trouble. God knows that you and I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's enough. He raised him from the dead. Just think of these graves and all that happens. And you and I are living in a world of darkness and death and ruin. And the only hope there is for anybody, anywhere, is in this Bible. It's in the Christ of this Bible. And here comes this Daniel. And he came along with that great ninth chapter where he speaks about Messiah the Prince. Messiah the Prince. Twice he does. And he says that he's coming again. And he writes, he says it'll be so many months, 70 years until, or 70 days it is, it amounts to a week of years until he's cut off. And there was a time prophecy concerning the first coming of Christ, the only one in the Bible. But there is no time prophecy for the second time. No man knows, only the Father knows when he'll give word to the Son to come back the second time. So we are people who are waiting and watching for the Lord to come any time. And that hope that we have is blessed. I want to develop that blessed for you one of these days. It's called the blessed hope. Paul calls it that. But it's the only hope there is. The only hope there is. I was interested this week in reading that we sent this new telescope way out there beyond all space, and they run into some constellation that they say is a new planet being formed. And it must have been formed a good many years ago because it's so many light years away, we're just now getting to see what it is. Beloved, this Bible says all things were made by Him and for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, beloved, no matter what they say about the universe, I look to Christ and say, it's yours. You're doing what you will with it. But I want to tell you, beloved, He's going to use it one time to have His saints throughout it all. When He comes, He shall gather His elect from one end of the heavens to the other. And He even told Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. We're going to be a pretty big company when we all get together. And when we all gather about the throne and see the Lamb and the glory that the Father gave to Him. Oh, beloved, Jesus Christ is the only name that has power in it. Jesus Christ is the only name that has life in it. Jesus Christ is the only name that anybody can attain and look to if they just hear His word, "Whosoever will, let him come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Well, we open here with a big banquet scene. And the son of Nebuchadnezzar is having a great time that night. He brought all his lords and all his principals, and he said, "Bring in the vessels from the temple, the golden cup, and bring the things that you brought from Jerusalem." And so they drank out of the cup, and they enjoyed the rest of the things that were in the holy places. And as they were reveling in it across the side or in the ceiling of that great room where there was a multitude, a hand came out. A hand. They saw a hand. Everybody paused. And then they saw these words, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." Before the night was over, he was dead. And he looked at that hand and said, tell me. Get the wise men, get the astrologers, tell me, what did it mean, what did it say? And as it was the case, they couldn't do it. And then, do you notice what it says here? That the king's wife, she must have been a pretty good woman. The king's wife said, "Honey, there's a man in our kingdom that came back from Jerusalem, and he did some things for your father, you know, and he's still alive. Won't you send for him? And maybe he can help us with this thing that's just happened." And they brought Daniel in. And you know this speech that Daniel makes here, it was a beautiful speech that he told the king before he did anything about it. "There is a man in thy kingdom," she said, "in whom the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of thy father, Nebuchadnezzar, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father the king, I say thy father, made master the magicians, sociologists, and Chaldeans, and forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel, whom thy king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Oh, beloved, let the fundamentalist preacher be called and tell the American people what we need to hear. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee," well, my wife told me about you, "that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing." You know, I marvel at all these references to these wizards and wise men, and there's no doubt about it. They have contact with the devil, and the devil knows a lot of things, but they can only go so far. They can only go so far, and then they're dumb. "I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet." How long that writing must have stayed up there? An hour? 2 hours? Well, it interfered with the banquet anyhow. And the king said, "Wait a minute, we've got to find out what it says. If you will give me the interpretation, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck." And Daniel said, "Don't worry about these things. Let thy gifts be to thyself. I don't want your money. Give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." Think of God Daniel, knowing that he was so close to God, he'd helped him in the other times that he'd been in trouble and given him the interpretation. I'll tell you what it said. Thou, O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Yes, this was his head of gold. And thou, whom he would, he slew. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingly throne. Just think of history. Daniel going back and giving the record of how his father went out and ate grass and was wet with the dew of heaven, and until he knew that the Most High God reigned in the kingdoms of men. There he is. Verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And we go on with Daniel as he speaks about these things. And he says, you brought in the vessels from the house that belonged to Israel's God, and you shouldn't have done that. And then we have it. This is the interpretation. God hath numbered thy kingdom. Do you want me to tell you something? That God hath numbered the United States. He has. You know, he's numbered Israel. God hath numbered thy people, thy kingdom, and finished it. God stood it as long as he could stand it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And I want to tell you, my country is being weighed in the balances right now. I'd like to do something about it. I'd like to have the Christians of this country do something about it. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. A head of gold is cut off. Now you got some silver. And then communed or commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he would be the third ruler of the kingdom. And that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And we have the second kingdom, Darius, the Mede, and then Cyrus the Persian. The shoulders of gold and silver came. There it was. When I look at that writing on the wall, it must have stayed up there quite a while. And there was a hand. It was the hand of God. Did you ever think about the fact that when Moses was up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments, that God put the Ten Commandments on two tables of stone with his finger? With his finger? And then when Moses came down and saw the golden calf, and in 40 days they'd gone back to the idolatry of Egypt, he threw the Ten Commandments down and broke them. God told him to come back up, I'll give you another one. He went back up on the mountain, and again, a second time with his finger, he wrote the Ten Commandments. That means it came right out of his hand. It came out of his index finger. It came out of his hand of power. It came out of his hand of legislation. It came out of the hand of God. Well, what do we read? This leader of the Persian Empire came in that night, Darius. You know what he did? Here was the Euphrates River that comes down, comes into Babylon, goes right by it, and the walls of the city were over the river. And this great general said, we'll divert the river's waters away from there, and we'll walk into the city on dry ground under that wall. They did it. I told you that I've been there. It's still there. The very place where this happened, it's still there. And that night, Nebuchadnezzar's son was killed. Who rules in the nations of the world? God does. And blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And our fathers put on the coins of our country "In God We Trust." And the God they were talking about was not Allah. The God they were talking about was the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were a Christian country. We got God's blessing because we're a Christian country. But now that we're turning away and doing all these terrible things that are in contradiction of God's design and purpose and pleasure for us, unless the Christians of this country, I'm going to preach it, I'm going to talk about it, unless the Christians of this country will do what they can, stand up like they ought to stand up, get out of these apostate churches like they ought to, and maintain a witness and keep the things of God holy and righteous and sacred. Thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom shall be taken from you tonight. All right, beloved, the only hope, the only thing that you and I can do is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell people to come to Him, to put their trust in Him. How many of you are talking about the Lord where you are? How many of you are using these opportunities to speak? You come here and hear the pastor and you see him all stirred and inspired and opening the scriptures. Tonight, this day, thy soul shall be required of thee. Well, beloved, let us believe Daniel. Let us thank God for this man. And now he spent his years, he may have lived to be 90 years of age. We don't know how, there's no... But he certainly lived to be more than 80 from the time he was taken captive as a little boy until the end of this second great kingdom that he saw. He lived a tremendous life, and the ring that's in it, the faith that is manifested, the assurance that he would step out. Now tonight I'm going to preach you on Daniel getting into the fiery furnace. Come and hear that sermon. He had a good time in that furnace. He got home pretty well inside of that furnace. And the God of Daniel is the God of this Bible. The God of Daniel is the God of our believers all over the world today. And He's the God that we must bring back to our country and put Him in the place where He belongs in the lives of our people. If not, you'll wait and see. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee for this marvelous message. We thank Thee that this son of Nebuchadnezzar paid the price of his awful iniquity. Meeny, meeny, tickle you farce. Bless us now as we go to our homes and as we look to the Lord, and may we realize that our testimony counts. And there are those who are trying to hurt it and hinder it. But it's in Thy care, and we leave it there. If there's anybody here this morning, Lord, that isn't saved, may they put their faith in this Christ. We shall carry that name with us till the end of our days. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.